September 21st, 2013, Community Hall.
Like to call the Village of Brown Lake Committee of the Whole meeting to order at 7:16 p.m. for October 21, 2013. May I have a roll call?
Trustee Clemens?
Present.
Trustee Fry?
Present.
Trustee Newby?
Present.
Trustee Simoncelli? Trustee Turpin?
Present.
Trustee Wazinski?
Present. I get an omnibus motion to approve items 2.1 and 2.2. Approve the minutes of the committee of the whole meeting of October 7, 2013, and 2.2. Approve the minutes of the special committee of the whole meeting of October 3, 2013.
So moved.
Yep. Motion made by Trustee Clemens, seconded by Trustee Wazinski. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'm
going to
be passing on both of them.
Very well.
Not a special
roll call.
Trustee Fry?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Yes.
Trustee Simoncelli? Trustee Turpin?
Aye.
Trustee Wazinski?
Aye.
And Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Public comment. I would invite anybody to have, at the last two board meetings, we've had a lot of discussion about chickens and our ordinance in the Village of Round Lake. We've had very open and a liberal form here of discussion. I'm going to hold the meeting tonight to have a amount of time that anybody would like to have a public comment. I'm not going to open it up to the discussion that we've had back and forth as the last two. There's been plenty of topic on that. If you have something new that you'd like to bring forward, I would invite you to do that now.
Well, I just
wanted
to talk how important it is. Why I actually do that.
Just one more time for the record, even though we know it on a study. Just state your name and address, please.
I'm Sage of the Veterans Trust, 2918 from the Children's.
Thank you.
Okay. I do that because I am a mother. I look at all of those books that are sitting in my gift set. I'm also chickens, well known here, there are chickens here in the first stage. This is all great, but the problem is none of our kids really have any touch with that any longer. Chickens, for some reason, have been stigmatized to be farm animals rather than pets. It's not just regular chickens, the pet chickens. There are five chickens, for example. They are what I'm talking about, they are small kind of chickens. They are more of a pet rather than an animal. For me, first of all, it's not about pets. It's more about pets, and it's about kids having possibility to exercise responsibility, taking care of pets. This is why I'm doing it. And I think it is unexpected to reconsider the
She agrees with you.
She agrees with me. I'm so wow. I'm glad to see you, right? I think it would be nice to give a chance to kids. Kids on a child basis. I went to that meeting that we had recently in Lake County in unincorporated to hear their hearing the bees and chickens. And one of the person came up and she said, I work at the Lake County College and I suggest a development program and I suggest that you do step by step. I think it's a very smart approach if you would, possibly consider doing it step by step, meaning you give a trial permission and see how it works to the sort of, regulations. And then if there is any feedback, any problems, and this is sometimes that's really don't like, you pull back the whole thing, close the chapter. And kind of them, you know, you might take, you know, you might think about it and figure out what you want to do. But I'd say chickens, just like dogs and cats, people for a long time, there are lots of breeds.
Trustee Simon Shelley arrived in 7:22.
So, another thing that I want to say, I take my kids to the grocery store, and I'm with my kids. I look at the different produce, because I go to the produce department in a regular grocery store, at least once a week, fresh stuff here, so I don't get it from the garden. But it's the harvest time, luckily for us. California and Florida. But even in this time, I found garlic from China, tomatoes from Canada, bananas obviously from Guatemala, grapes from Chile. And this is one of my concerns because, you know, it would be nice to introduce this idea to the kids that not necessarily all the food has to be coming from elsewhere. Garlic from China? That's a little bit overkill. And, you know, you probably heard there is a talk that some of the chickens will be produced inside and not going to be produced in eggs or meat or any of that. But I would like to teach my kids about sustainability. I would like to know that there are tomatoes that can grow in the backyard, and there are cucumbers and zucchinis that you can harvest and enjoy them during the summertime for all the children. So I want to thank you for being so patient and allowing me to talk for this the second time and being so kind to us. And please think about what I'm saying. I'm sure I'm not the only one, and I'm sure there will be more people because I have a strange feeling that the times and the fashions are changing slightly. And people will arrive and try to figure out what they are, what they can exercise themselves in. And I don't know. Be there next time. Just if you say no now doesn't mean that it will have to stay that way forever. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, I also have an assignment.
Thank you, Anastasia.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alicia Grant. I live in unincorporated Mundelein. I'm a board member of Village Homesteading Mundelein. Before getting hens, I couldn't understand why anyone would want to have junk food hens. They wouldn't produce anywhere close to the number of eggs that my family needs. But my passion for fresh organic food led me to get hens, and only then did I understand how sweet these sweet little creatures make excellent pets. They are social, always happy to see you. They're smart. Recent studies have shown that they are smarter than toddlers, demonstrating abilities as chicks that humans don't possess until age 4. They benefit the environment by keeping chicken kitchen waste out of the landfill, and in turn give us locally produced eggs that don't incur transportation costs. Their waste can be composted for gardening, unlike the waste of cats. They are quiet. They are just as stupid as suburban homes, dogs and cats, and probably even more so, because given their ability to thrive in small spaces. I know bacteria and disease are a common concern, and I ask you to take 1 minute out of your cultural programming to block out preconceived ideas and stereotypes and imagine that you are sitting on a board without any pets and someone coming and asking for permission to have a cat or a dog. And so you go home and you do your research and you look at what bacteria, what parasites, what disease do the animals carry. And what comes up, you will find that most likely a lot of you may have cats, which are the leading cause, according to the CDC, the leading cause of death attributed to foodborne illnesses, which is toxoplasmosis.
Kittens and puppies are common carriers of roundworms that can be transmitted to children and adults who enjoy their affectionate kisses. Dogs and outdoor cats usually come in contact with numerous types of parasites, and yet pet owners sleep with their pets and swap kisses. You would find that hairy worms transmit rabies, fleas, ticks, Campylobacter, Cryptosporidium. I'm not here to bash dogs and cats. I have them both, and I'd rather point out the parts that you might have found during your research into perspective. According to the CDC, there were 1.4 million cases of salmonella in the U.S. in a given year. Only 112 out of that 1.4 million were known to be in contact with salmonella chicks. To say that backyard nets that present a valid concern for public health is a stretch. Salmonella can be spread by dogs, by cats, by store-bought eggs, and raw poultry. The egg naturally has a protective barrier that is built into it. As the egg ages, though, that barrier breaks down, increasing the risk of salmonella, which is why store-bought eggs tend to be more likely salmonella than backyard eggs. The other thing is that commercial eggs usually have to wash their eggs, and it washes off the protective covering called the wing, which then makes the porous egg shell more susceptible to salmonella as well. Bacterium parasites are everywhere. They aren't going away. We need the billions of beneficial bacteria to grow food, produce oxygen, digest food. It's pretty common knowledge that farmers and farm kids are healthier than their city peers. In fact, the National Institute of Health is collaborating with some universities to study the benefit of the farmers' exposures to microbes and how they lead to better health. I look forward to the results of this study because I believe the results will challenge many current practices. This summer, I visited Fort Collins, Colorado. The city changed its ordinances to allow chicken disease within the city limits in the last year. They held neighborhood think tanks to come up with regulations that made sense and protected both the chickens and the neighbors. While walking in sidewalks and alleyways, I never once heard nor smelled chickens. Only after a local friend pointed out where chickens lived and I peeked into their property did I ever see any evidence of chickens. Today, I called the Animal Control Department to hear about their experience in the last year. I was told only very, very, very rarely do they get concerned about chickens, and the small number of concerns they have gotten were because people were concerned that chickens were too tiny. Nothing about noise, nothing about smell. Dogs were by far their biggest and most consuming complaint. I'm here representing a nonprofit group made up of local people who care about our environment, our food supply, and creating community. In my opinion, we represent the upcoming generation, a generation that is seeking connection with food, a generation that is teaching our children by example where food comes from. This quest, this drive, is not going away. Many surrounding communities are considering backyard tents right now. I want to encourage you to take this progressive step forward in giving residents back the freedom to produce their own food and share this knowledge with their children. Psychologists all over agree that children need more time outside. Nothing gets my kids outside faster than the suggestion to go get the eggs. Just a closing thought, Lake County adopted a strategy for sustainable Lake County in 2009. One of the definitions of sustainable Lake County is relating to a lifestyle involving the use of sustainable methods. Backyard nets, in addition to organic veggie gardens, rain barrels, seeds, and native gardens, fit perfectly within that definition. If we aren't encouraging these responsible, conscientious lifestyle choices, I have to wonder what we are encouraging instead. I, for one, would like to join the ranks of other progressive towns that don't just adopt. They want to live it.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Jennifer Perrin. I live at 218 Chandler Drive in Mundelein, Illinois. I'm a co-founder of Village Homestead in Mundelein, a nonprofit that was I'm here because I am in support of Brown Lake and its ideas for allowing backyard tents. In the ordinance, you had discussed the thought of permits for
apply for the a fee, $20, something of that nature, and then they would take a course possibly given by a nonprofit in your community, for example, so that they could be educated and make sure that they would be able to pass this, you know, whole test, and then be issued the permit only under the compliance that they could pass it, and then they would have a coup and the run and all the appropriate things. And I'm sure you've already discussed in all of these meetings that you've had, and I've been to a number of meetings and have been sort of battling this with boards for the last 2 years. I know that in Ann Arbor, Michigan, they have allowed backyard tents, and in their writing of their ordinance, it says no permit shall be issued to a person by the city, and no chickens shall be allowed to be kept unless the owners of all residentially zoned adjacent properties consent in writing to the permit. So that could be part of your writing as well, that the person who's applying for the permit then has to go to their neighbor to say, no, that's a big concern for people, their neighbor, right? Is the chicken going to fly over the fence, and is it going to, my dog going to attack? Is it going to smell? Is it, and all of these things, you, I'm sure, have heard numerous arguments about. I don't know if that's in your thinking or in the writing of the ordinance with your zoning committees and such, but it's a possibility. And then a pilot program. Take a few families to apply for these permits and then try it out for a year. Observe it. See if their neighbors are complaining. Just give it a chance. Be one of the counties, you know, in the county to be forward thinking and sort of take that step towards healthier communities, sustainable practices, and actually following in the footsteps of what the broader Lake County is trying to do as a whole. I know that I was also at the meeting for the Lake County unincorporated, and the zoning committee recommended a quarter of an acre for the bees, and they passed it with flying colors, and then the tenants came up and they suggested that a half an acre was a more reasonable amount of space for a hen, which is actually not true. They thrive in smaller spaces, but a lot of their reasoning, I think, is fear-based. Again, I'm sure you've heard all of this before many, many, many times. But I encourage you to maybe think outside of the box, get a program together, hold hands with some of these nonprofits, these volunteers that are willing, they are able, they are here, they're constantly coming to these meetings. We want to help our community. We want to help people. We're not trying to charge, you know, cost money or taxpayer dollars and all of these things. We just want to see this be a positive influence on our community. And I think that in order for that to happen, we have to get through to you, and we have to help you and guide you as you do for us with all the other things that you do with, you know, all the other city issues that you deal with other than just effort. I'm sure you have lots going on. So I encourage you to try something different and see if it works. Try the pilot program. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work, then you don't need to do it. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask the nonprofit group again? What's the name
Village of it? Village Homesteading Mundelein.
Good evening, Ed Furman, 2 Long Forest, Leastwood Court, Round Lake Beach. Just wondering if Mr. Mayor or any of the trustees have checked with the folks in Antioch. Antioch allows backyard chickens. With local resource, you can speak to a realized human being.
Heads up.
Okay, keep that in mind. Have you all had a chance to look through that album of photos of poop silo?
Yes, we did.
I was wondering if any of you found anything objectionable to that, if those kind of things were to appear in backyards and around the area. If it was helpful, at least for visualizing the kind of things that we're talking about, the scale of the coop, the scale of the run, how sometimes they're even made showpieces of the backyard, the same way people do with their own gardens and sheds and things like that, matching the decorations of the house.
Actually, one of the images you had in there was of a playhouse that has been fashioned into a coop. As a playhouse that's currently in my backyard where my kids go and play in. But I was like, I know this one exactly. They fashioned it into a coop where my kids currently, you know, are the coop. It's my kids' playhouse.
Or repurposing.
Exactly.
Okay. I do keep that in mind. I did that so you would have some good mental images, because without those to counter against, you think of things that you've seen on Green Acres or Beverly Hillbillies or something like that. You think of an old abandoned swing set or an old trampoline frame with chicken wire around it. And that's the worst fear that tends to come up. And if in an ordinance should you proceed in that direction, you specify that the hoop and run need to be purpose-built, not just slapped together out of some stuff rescued from a landfill. It can actually be value-adding to the property. Or you invite friends over and have a shelter to have the kids' parents come over for a play or something like that. I'm hoping to get that binder back tonight if I can do. If not tonight, I know you're good for it eventually. Alicia mentioned, Jennifer mentioned a change coming in society. You know what happened with the American auto industry? They were completely unprepared for the change coming with globalization. In fact, they denied vehemently that they were worth less than they thought they were individually as workers, $15 an hour to put nuts on the tires of wheels going by and things like that. It took over a decade for it to really sink in and for American auto industry to rebuild itself. For a while, top 10 list of cars didn't even feature a single U.S. car maker. But they're back. They got it, and they've taken a new stance. In society and culture now, we're seeing that same kind of change between the baby boomers passing off to the Generation Xers and the generation after that, the millennials. For them, sustainability, resource depletion, effects of environmental pollution, things happening with cancer, diabetes, and autism, all these things are realities, stark realities. They've seen our trusted institutions, the ones most of us have grown up trusting, banking and accounting and the housing industry and big pharmacy, right, drug companies will take care of us. They've seen all of them crash and burn and scandals discovered, and the effects of overconsumption in society as well. And they're wanting to retrench a little bit, get a little bit less consumer-oriented, be more living like humans are supposed to, more in touch with nature, themselves, and community and all. And what we're addressing with backyard chickens is just one aspect of that. Just like looking for walkable neighborhoods or places where it's more bike-friendly, there's things to do in town, which I know is a goal for Round Lake itself, as you try to change from all of them in the past. This is one of those things that can help make, I believe, Round Lake more marketable in the future. Because the folks were stuck in the 70s, we call them the Archie Bunker Brigade. They've got that one mindset they just cannot let go. They're gradually going to be phasing out of the picture, moving down to Arizona. And you've got these replacement generations coming in. And you want Round Lake Beach to be competitive, Round Lake, all of Round Lake communities, as a matter of fact, to be competitive in the marketplace. What can you offer young families who are now looking for some place to raise their kids, to go to school, to do things? So you have your infrastructure plans, downtown renovation, little clusters of stores and places to go. But what about where they live? What can they do there? This is among those lines, backyard beekeeping, backyard hens, again, roosters, the connectivity, all those kind of things going on. So I'd ask you to keep that bigger picture in mind. Locally, it might be about pets or eggs, but there is a bigger picture coming with that change of perspective. A very last thing, I know that, as the mayor mentioned, this has been discussed plenty already. I'm hoping the ultimate outcome of this would be passing this down to your zoning committee for some deep research and coming up with a proposed ordinance that can then maybe be presented to the community or be presented to the board for some final discussion. Because I know all things have to move on eventually. Any questions for me?
Thank you, sir. Hi there. Chris, you know, 1927 Underground Drive. I don't have much to say that others have said. I also want backyard chickens. I grew up in a tiny Chicago bungalow on 3,000 square foot lot, and I could have chickens there. In Evanston, you can have chickens. Tiny houses, these are urban areas. And here we are around Lake. McCullough County, and you can't have one chicken, you can't have four chickens, you can't have any chickens. And it seems really silly to me. It seems frustrating that I'm out of the suburbs and I can't even have a little bit of food in my backyard. I have a garden. So as Ed and Jennifer said, you can check these other municipalities that have chickens that are legal, whether local or Colorado or all over the country, this is happening. And you're going to see more and more of any time you talk about this. I'm going to swing through the rooftop, all my friends are going to come. And it just, I think it's really important that we take a step towards sustainability, a step towards letting people in the community be able to make their own food. Two chickens, like I said, four chickens and a tattoo under my deck, have a nice run that connects to my garden. My neighbor wouldn't see them. Certainly wouldn't hear them. They wouldn't get bitten on them, bark at them. They wouldn't be pooping and peeing on the grass. On the grass. And I just don't see a downside. And so I just want to urge you, all of you, to think about this issue, to look into it, to talk to other municipalities, and consider the downsides, consider the complaints. You know, I have friends who've been attacked by dogs that are known to be healthy, friendly dogs. These dogs attack them. The chicken will not attack you. The chicken won't even get out of my yard. I have a friend. So I just wanted to put my voice in there. I'm a local resident. I live across the street from Trustee Blofeld. And I'm really very passionate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kevin Strunzi, 1918 West Greenwich Drive. I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I know you've seen me before. You've heard me before. I just kind of want to tell you a little bit about one man's journey to backyard chicken world. I, like many of you, when my wife first brought this up to me, I thought, no way, I do not want chickens in my backyard. And I thought, there is no way that I want them. But it was important to my wife. So I thought, okay, it's important to me. I'm going to support her. And I started doing some research. I started looking into it and thinking about it, thinking deeply about it. It's important to her, so it became important to me. I understand some of the fears. I understand some of the thoughts. I did some of that research. I thought it through then. And I am a convert now. One of the things that I was thinking about being at the Lake County Board the other day and hearing some people talk about voicing some of their fears and their the misconceptions perhaps that they have is this whole thought about, or it's kind of, I call myself almost a snob because of the way I thought about it. My grandfather grew up on a farm. He worked hard every day of his life. He's somebody that I don't think I've ever seen anybody that's as hardworking as he at his age. He died at about 92 years old. He was almost 92. But he, up until he died, he had a reputation as a hard worker. He was very respected. And he grew up on that farm. And he moved away from the farm. I remember the first meeting that we came to, and we talked about this. Our village administrator talked about being from a farm, growing up with lots of chickens. And then he moved away from that. He is a very successful man. Later in that meeting that we were at that first time, the board was praising what a great job the administrator has done, what a great job he continues to do. One of the things that I say is think about where he grew up. Think about what he did. The things that formed his life. That's one of the things that we're all talking about for our children. One of the things that we would like to bring to our children is some of the responsibilities. Some of the things that we see from our grandparents, from our village administrator. People who lived through that and had those responsibilities and experienced that. And I say that I'm kind of snobbish because one of my original thoughts was, you know, I don't want to be a farm. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that family that has chickens in the backyard. I've moved on from that. My family was rather poor. We grew up. We didn't have a lot of money. couple of years we lived in a trailer, and we eventually moved away from that trailer. Like I said, my grandfather came from a farm. My grandma owned a farm. And we lived in suburban life. We had the suburbia. I've moved on from that. And then I started doing the research and thinking about this. I started thinking, that's just me being innocent enough, saying I don't want that anymore. I don't want that. I've moved on. I started thinking about that. And I realized, I do have hope. I want that for my kids. I want the responsibility. I want to give back to some of that. And that sustainability that we talked about. I ask you to get back and to think about it. Some of these misconceptions we're talking about. We talked about the chicken and the egg, which came first. Our village program, our homeowners association actually does not prohibit chickens. Valley Lakes does not prohibit chickens in that area. It prohibits chickens from being taken into some of the community areas, such as the parks and things like that. But if you read through our homeowners association rules, they're not prohibiting chickens. The chicken or the egg argument, I guess, we've kind of gotten past that, at least for our homeowners association. There are others, of course, we don't know. I had so many things I wanted to say about those here. And I've kind of forgotten, like I said, I didn't want to take up a lot of time, but I just didn't want to tell you about the things that I've been thinking about, the things that I've been hearing and seeing. One more thing. At the Lake County Board, I heard one of the gentlemen say something about, I don't want to look in my neighbor's backyard and see the chicken coop. But one of the things that we've talked about here is how attractive chicken coops can be, how attractive other people's yard can be. One of the things that I thought about was the fact that we put up a 6-foot privacy fence around our yard. I don't want you looking in my backyard. You have your backyard. I have my backyard, and it looks very nice. We do a lot of work in our backyard. I'm a handyman as well. I've done all kinds of stuff. And I love the look of my backyard. I wouldn't want to be in disrepair. I would make a chicken coop. It was actually very nice. Ron has been in my backyard and attest to the way my backyard looks. Going back to the snob thing, I wanted to tell you too, I'm a well-educated individual. I graduated with honors from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln. University of Wisconsin Law School. Graduated with my JD from there. I work for a big firm downtown Chicago. I'm not somebody that has lived on a farm all my life and wants to continue that. I have a different lifestyle. But I would like to have you consider getting into the bathroom. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stern.
Jeff Bauer, 2585 West Montgomery Lane, destination. Up until 2009, I was an East Coaster. Had been my whole life. 20 years prior to November 19, 2009, lived in New Jersey, Warren County, shores of the Delaware, at the base of the Pocono's Mountain, a thing called the Delaware Water Gap. Our township was expansive, and it was gorgeous. And we could see eagles, bald, and golden, and ostriches, and coyotes, and foxes, and black bears, and deer, and every other critter. Oh, that was just my backyard, which was in a residential area. But the township was so big, we also had multi-thousand-acre farms. Very special place to live. Then our company said, with the prices, let's consolidate. Gee, Joe, come to our home office. It's in Chicago. I've been commuting here for years. For me, the relocation was very easy. It was very difficult. 20 years as an Army brat at one place, something she'd never done. A lot to give up. So when we were looking for a place to live, the office was in my county, so I slept there. I've been confident, and I still have a certain distance. At some points in my career, I was commuting 100 miles each way. Oh, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. Lovely drives. Didn't want to do quite that much. This is just part of the compass. Things that we value, we like to walk. We're out there every day, even in the cold. Most Illinois folks seem to hibernate from Thanksgiving to Easter. We're out doing our 4 miles. And so we plan every day, every less. We still see the wildlife we used to see on the Jersey coast, the egrets, the great blue herons, the cranes, the geese, all the ducks and birds. My Appalachia is going to make it because I have over a dozen woodpeckers that call in it, eating all the critters they can find. Another thing that we like very much about this area, it was designated residential. We had walking, and as someone who didn't necessarily have the advantage of commuting in either New York or Philly, a mile and a half from my house to the Long Lake metro station. Okay, I get to work from home 3, 4, 5 days a week, so why do I need a bike? So there's a lot that we have found that we like, and it certainly resonated from my riding short springs, and it resonates to mine. This is a residential area, and look at the map. We have some, it looks like high density, a lot of open space and residential. We're not going to be all things to all people. Lake County is a landmass, has to be at least 100 times, if not many more than that. So they can be more diverse in their decisions. They have the space to make things work. When you get to a smaller population or smaller universe, being all things to all people becomes much more difficult. How do we balance it? I've heard people in this room talk about the character of the Village of Round Lake, what we want it to be, why something like LED light replacement was important for sustainability, the character, cutting down on bills, helping to manage our utility and our expenses better. Why we're so concerned about the tree replacement program, what it means to the community, and as Loris and I took our walk today, we're seeing trees with green dots that are being taken down. We see other trees with green dots with a red marking on it. We know what's going in there. We can see the maples, we can see the other trees, the species being called out. And we can see that when those trees come down, our community is going to be diminutive. The Loris and I, our neighbors are already lucky. We have primarily elms and some farm maples. We're still going to have the impression that we want. But this is what the Village of Round Lake has talked about in being the village and what it wished to offer. In first grade and in second grade, that's when I started picking up what little social skill I have. And twice a day in both of those classes, first and second grade, we were simply told one thing. Remember to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That was it, the golden rule. Didn't get any virtues. So imagine if we already allow chicken and bees, and I think we have an attorney. See, if I get stung by a bee, and since I'm allergic and if I end up dying, can the Lord sue the person next door to me who has a beehive, even though I can't figure out, you know, what beehive that came from that stung me and I couldn't get to my serum? A little curious on that one. Imagine I came here from New Jersey and you all had the ordinance that allowed chickens and maybe other critters, normally agriculture. And I said, you know, that's not what I wanted. Let's go ahead and change it. I guarantee I have mothers and fathers and children behind me and wondering, why is he doing that? Why does he want to change what we're doing? I've heard some comments, and Archie Bunker doing battle. It's a snob. Prejudice, false conceptions have to be converted. Not sure quite how to take those because I'm into a residential area and that's simply all I want. I do know this. In early 2008, neighbors of mine in New Jersey, identical house, sold their house for 50% more than what I was able to get. House probably went down in 18 months. The good news for me in coming here, what we sold the house for, we were able to find a replacement house, dollar for dollar trade. I lost back there. I also know I lost here. I know a house similar to ours in 2008 had an offer of 5.25. Offer didn't take it. Probably wishes I did, because a few months ago went for a closure for 149. I know what I paid. It's public record. It's 270. You can look it up. I know what we put patios and ribbons, the upgrade hardwood floor throughout the house, new kitchen, new counters, new appliances. My gold grade furnace and air conditioner went a lot of money went in. And I see a house open for 149, I've lost another 50%. I'm bleeding money. Where we live, back of our property, back onto an electric power station. You couldn't care less about the way it looked. I had trees shielded for 6 months to a year. I had a father who was electrical communication engineer. It changed me in our life. My grandfather taught courses in electricity and telephony. Telephony is what Alexander Graham and Thomas Alva said to him when they asked him to help co-write the first book back in 1894 to teach some new people this new science of telephony and electricity. But in our neighborhood, if you backed up one of that station, our houses were worth 15% less than someone who was across the street or anywhere else in the neighborhood. It impacted our value. And yet Dolores and I looked at that, we thought it was neat because I had deer coming through the property. We had a crabapple tree in the back of our property. Oh, they loved that in August and September. And we loved watching them. We would see generation after generation of deer in our house. And that was neat. But this was a place, that switch station opened up into a 5,000 acre working farm. Different than what we have. This is a residential community.
Mr. Brower, if I may, I did mention to people that I was going to hold public comment and to a certain, and in fairness to everybody that spoke, and you can wrap it up in a couple minutes, please.
One of my concerns, do I want chickens for neighbors? No. I don't know what it's going to do to my house property. I've heard two people from Monument and somebody from around Lake Beach. I'm not seeing anything I can put my foot on. What does it do to the house property? I do know this, and I'm trying to sell my house. What I think is neat, my neighbors can think it's a constructive house, but I may not. That concerns me. Heard about Fort Collins. It's where one of the places for us in my vacation. A lot of different areas. They may have it, but it's a whole different area. So one of my concerns is, what do we do for my next door neighbor's chicken comes in my yard? What do? Do I call the chief? Do I get the shoot? Do I chase it out? How do we enforce it? We have coyotes in our neighborhood routinely. They go near their dogs and kids. No one's been hurt. If they're out there, we see them all. So these are other things that I'm very concerned about in my neighborhood. And the other thing is that we're a residential area. We're not a mixed agriculture. We talk about dominating, having a certain value. What's our value? Lake County is big. They want to have more diversity. They have the land space to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Brower. Any other public comment? Thank you, everybody, for showing up again. I'm going to ask the board, right now is the time to consider, hopefully everybody has done their homework in the last month. I think the topic here is not about whether chickens are good pets or not. The thing that we have to realize is, the chickens belong in the backyards of the residents that are in our village limit. Do we feel, you know, we're the representatives of our community? Hopefully you've had some time to interview and talk to people that's in your subdivisions and that's inside of town. We've heard a lot of comment from the people from Mundelein, from Lake County, from Lake Beach, from Fox Lake, actually. And I think we've only had two comments or two residents. I think you're the third from Round Lake. So again, we're making a decision for everybody here tonight, and please keep that in mind on what you're doing, what it will affect as far as how do we write permits, what is it going to be for zoning, for building a chicken coop, what are we going to have to do to codify this? Keep that in mind. And the question is now is, do we want to move this forward to get it onto the agenda or vote?
What I would like to see happen, and share for you, share their opinions too. I like the idea of chickens. I understand the concerns as well. What I would like to see is a pilot program going for 1 year trial period or so. But I would also like to see an application for a permit and all adjacent neighbors, the homeowners themselves, to sign off saying that they are comfortable with it, but it doesn't have any effect, so they're all aware of what's there, and that will help address the concerns of my neighbors, concerns for the property value. They've been at least been aware of it, they're at least given their neighbor permission to participate in this pilot program to see if it's something that could be a good benefit for Round Lake and help make us attractive to those that are interested in doing some backyard time. The city of Chicago does this. They're on those itty-bitty lots. That's just one thing that just, you know, of the neighbors I've spoken to, which is the ones that I've gotten out and was able to secure all from Lake Oakland. I didn't have anybody tell me no in my community that they're opposed to it, that they wouldn't. I've actually had them raise more concerns about the neighbor getting a dog, especially as well, there was one of them who had runs a home daycare. And I'd be more concerned about the neighbors getting a German Shepherd or a pit bull or something of that nature, because if the kids go through the fences and start poking their fingers, that's where they have the biggest concerns. I even had one say, yeah, I actually kind of scared of your dog until they got to meet my dog. I had an American Bulldog. She looks pretty tough. And if you didn't know her, you'd be scared of her probably, but she's a big love. She thinks she's a cat. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see some sort of pilot program be put into place, give it a shot, see how it works out, with some sort of permitting process, obviously zoning, to come up with some sort of architectural design to make sure it's fitting and appealing, not to be just wire hoop and doing such, like mentioned, or trampoline frames, which I have one of those, but I won't use very spot promise. So I think that would be something as well, but I would like to see us with any of those permissions too.
I have a problem asking for a chicken that's attached or for raising chickens.
Raising chickens in your backyard, whether it becomes a pet, because a lot of times sometimes you're raising things, or sometimes it becomes a pet, or sometimes it truly is just for the agricultural benefit.
On our agenda, Mr. Mayor, if that chicken is a pet, so we need to vote on. I'm ready to move it forward to the next meeting. I'm at the home, chicken is a pet. Yes,
that's a good question, though. Is it chickens as pets or chickens in general? Is there a difference?
I do not know.
Do you get a dog strictly for security, or do you get a dog to be a companion, or do they kind of go hand in hand?
Well, again, we've heard a lot of comments in the last three meetings. The term chickens as pets has been brought up. But I think the bigger thing is, again, is concern for the residents that are next door, the impact that it's going to have to our municipality in creating the new ordinances. We had talked about building, you mentioned today about your construction of the coops. putting those limitations on it. There'll be a lot of complicated things that we'll have to write into ordinance. So take those into consideration. But I think the biggest topic is that, again, that I've heard talking to people, is chickens in the backyard of your neighbors. And as Mr. Brower just mentioned, do we want to be known as, still in society, it is livestock. So I don't know where the pet thing comes in. You know, is it a matter of definition to pull away from the word livestock? I'm not sure. These are all things that we have to consider.
Well, we also need to consider very seriously who's going to inspect, who's going to enforce, and who's going to handle any issues that arise when something happens. We don't have that capacity right now. We don't have a department that does that. The county does, but we don't. And if we go forward with looking at even a pilot program, someone still has to be in charge of that pilot program from an inspection, enforcement, and a health standpoint, from an agricultural or animal standpoint. We don't have anyone. We're incurring a lot of costs to even have an agreement with the county if we want to go forward with even a pilot program.
When,
but that's the responsibility we still have to look at yet.
So when a dog gets loose, who do the residents call and who goes and kind of helps wrangle up that dog?
Police department.
Police department. Who inspects the rabies tag to make sure the dog has stayed on the rabies?
Actually, that's the health department.
Okay. So
we pay a price for that. Every time a dog goes to the county, we pay a price for that. Every time a stray cat's picked up and goes to the county, we pay a price for that.
Yeah, so it's the owner of the pet, because they have been there before, not with my dogs, with other pet friends' dogs, so they had to go bail them out because they got loose and didn't come. But they have to pay. They also, if they don't can't provide proof of their animal vaccination, they have to pay and they get them vaccinated on site by the department there, the county regulators. But
I know,
do we think we're going to have chickens running around, getting out and going where our police department has to go and chase down the chickens? And if we have a pilot program where we at least know we have only 10 houses in the village that are part of this pilot program, how many we define, if we define. Pretty clear to kind of know where it is and say, guess what, your chickens got loose. Here's your fee. If we have permits, we have more ways to track them down, I think, than we do people who have dogs. Like, literally, my dog got loose. I'm sorry, my dog definitely got loose. And got chased down, and eventually she came home. As soon as she saw the police car chasing her, she's like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And she came to my front porch and, so sorry, I apologize. Brought her in, checked my gate. And what happened is my gate, you know, one of the latches was hot. So I popped it back in, and still, they have no idea knowing where that dog is, you know, unless they actually catch her and are able to catch the collar if they have one.
In conversation last meeting, this topic came up with Evanston and the city of Naperville, who has allowed chickens recently, and the topic came up with who regulates it. And both of those municipalities have a health department, and it is regulated by their health department. The health department has health inspectors. I'll just bring that information forward.
We don't have that in our village.
We do not.
We should be looking at the very least, creating an intergovernmental agreement with the county. But let me also just throw in one more sidebar to this. When a dog or cat is sent over to the county, and the person goes and picks up their dog or their cat, we don't, as a village, get anything back on that. That all goes to the county. So once we make this agreement, it's not us who is going to, you know, get back anything from these owners. Just so you realize it, it's going to be pure pay out, not a
coup. Unless you build it into it saying, this is the structure. If this happens, this is what it is. You can find out what those fee structures are, what it costs us. And this is your responsibility in addition to whatever the county charges.
There's many that are not followers that are in this town. So you will not recruiting. So, no way.
So we would be adding to our cost to do this. And then I guess the last thing I'm going to say on the subject, and I don't want to, I'm not saying I'm not in favor of chickens in your backyard, but I am going to go ahead and say this. You want to have chickens, and what if the next person walks through the door and says to this board, I only have a small goat because I want goat's milk because I have a child that does well in goat's milk. You guys want eggs, they want goat's milk. It's kind of, from my standpoint, from where I'm coming from, it's arbitrary. Either we allow farm animals or we don't allow farm animals. And frankly, when would it stop? And I know I've heard a couple people say it's never happened elsewhere. Believe me, we've always been through the pig and now the chickens and the bees, and we've been through a lot in Round Lake. You can say that somebody won't walk through that door today and all the monkeys up over there get one because we've all been there. So I just want to say, I'm not saying no. I have my reservations. You're going to have to prove this now to me because I see a lot of work ahead of us, and I'm willing to do it if that's what, you know, the bill comes down to. But I think, again, what's coming next? And how are we going to regulate it? How are we going to inspect it? How are we going to handle it? We have a lot on our plate. Is that where we want to throw money and time and effort right now? That just comes down to an up and down vote.
And my question is, you say, you know, get approval from the neighbors. How many neighbors? Six this way, two this way, six this way. And now we have people coming in complaining that live five doors down, saying they're complaining about their sheep. But where do you draw that line? What is considered a neighbor? Right next door? What's the cost of them?
The rental man's door? The rental 2 yards away?
Well, I mean, that's what it's like.
I'm a homeowner. I'm a homeowner not living there.
Right.
They don't. Somebody else is.
Right. I mean, they don't care about the people that live in the house. They care. I mean, what if they sell chickens and doing things to these chickens and commenting the neighbors? So, I mean, it's...
There's pros and there's cons.
The decision we need to make now as a board is whether the majority of us feel that we want to have this topic go forward to the on agenda for the next board meeting, which at that time would not take in any consideration of rules and regulations. It would just be us making the approval for it to be passed to the zoning board and have them start the processes of whatever they decide? Or do we as a board think that our residents would not be interested in this and the topic is not moved any further than it has been as of right now?
I think so, Mr. Mayor. The zoning board is only an advisory board, so it's still come back to us anyway. So I say, let's come back to the board, those who want to move it forward or not. And if we do decide, then we can go to the zoning board for...
Right. The next decision is to move to the regular meeting, whether it's, and then the regular meeting will approve it to go to the zoning board.
Yeah.
Well, I've been trying to hold my opinion. And the reason why I'm trying to hold my opinion is because I did a little walk, a small walk, a good sized walk, up and down my the people in my subdivision, whenever they have an issue, they come before, they want to come before the board here. What they do is if they come along and say, hey, they see me going in the car or whatever. So I took that same walk I did back a long, long time ago when I started telling them I want to sit here. And I've yet to see one person yet that supports the chicken. I kept an open mind. My second problem in this is that this guy was dealing with old Patrick. I can't support him, this people going out, chasing down chickens. In the meanwhile, The next thing is that there's a child that I'm looking at over there that I got a problem to. I tell him the day you can have a chicken. He names that chicken. He starts to play with that chicken. He looks at it. And 6 months later, I got to sit here and tell him, Liz, you know what? Talk to everybody else again. And I say, no. What do I do psychologically with that child? Yeah, I'm not a dad, but I got kids at home too. And I think about her. And yes, I live in a subdivision that's truly a part of it. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I can see deer across my back. In the wintertime, I see them standing in the middle of my street. And I see blue herons, and I see everything you can think of. In fact, I just chased the possum out of my garage because I had a relative come over to visit me. And he left my garage door open for a while. The problem is I can't afford it. I'm sorry. And that's just how simple it is. And I couldn't support it going any further than what it is right now.
Trustee Drupal? Nothing support? Trustee Newby? Trustee Blunt?
Yeah, I'm a little conflicted myself because I asked my neighbors and they didn't support it. Although I personally feel that we have way too many restrictions on how we use our property right now. I don't like all the restrictions that we have. So I personally would support it, but I know the majority of my neighbors did not. So I'd have to go with my neighbors, unfortunately. That's unfortunate, but that's who got me here. So.
Don?
Well, that's pretty obvious how I feel.
I think so. I got it.
Vicki? And I unfortunately feel the same as we've heard. It's just me, it's opening in a can of worms, and there's just so much time, money, not just now, in the future, that's going to go into it. Our police officers need to be in better places sometimes. Public work stuff needs to be dealing with. We're shorthanded on both ends. I have problems supporting it just because of that can of worms that I think we can open.
So the general consensus is 4-2 that we do not move this to further discussion at the agenda or pass it on to the zoning board.
All questions.
You've heard the numbers. If anybody's objected to it, we'll leave it like this. If you want to call the vote, Mr. Newby, we can do that.
Hello.
And clear.
Call the vote. It's just move it. Just
forward.
And right now, the majority of the board is saying to not move it forward. Correct.
Just to be clear, the question should be first conceded of whether you or a yes vote would be to move this item and place it on the board meeting for the next regularly scheduled meeting.
So yes to move forward.
And no to end the discussion now in committee of votes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Trustee Clemens.
No.
Trustee Fred?
No.
Trustee Newby?
No.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Yes.
Trustee Trippin?
No.
Trustee Wyszynski?
No.
But the one majority says we will end this topic here. As I said, thank you for your concern, and I applaud you for your compassion for this. But the board has decided that we would end this topic here today.
I have never, ever seen anything presented to the board with such
Goodwin. I appreciate that you came in. You were all very helpful and had a lot of great things to say. Sorry we didn't vote with you, but gosh, you guys are very compelling. Thank you for bringing it forward.
Thank you, everybody. That was public comment. Okay. Hopefully 4, 5, 6, and 7 will go a little quicker. Committee of the whole. Trustee Fry, anything on the incubator program?
No, but we're also, right now, since I went to the IML conference, we will be looking for a budget item, probably in a meeting to come up later. Why? Because I think we need to go out and actually sell Round Lake to the rest of the world.
That's a good idea.
And I've already had discussions with how maybe we might need to take and probably put ourselves on the internet and also about selling ourselves to other businesses and other things to bring more business and more people into our community.
Great.
All right.
Human resources. Chief.
Thank you, Mayor Villas. First agenda item is the police department server. That would be brief. This is a budgeted item. The vendor is simply naming. He spent a lot of time on this with himself and Mayor Villas. And the next 3 agenda items we have, there's a number of quotes we've back and forth. The 2 final quotes you have in your packet. The recommendations to go with the main server. During this whole process, we saved a couple thousand dollars, actually. The beginning of the process, the very end of what you had in front of you. So I have 2 questions.
So my question is, do we, you know, because we're working with current technologies, and yet here in the proposals, we're purchasing equipment from CDW but using current technology labor. Any impact to the contract?
None
for that.
Their contract is separate than this write-up.
Their contract is a maintenance and service.
And so
the hardware is still running.
Yeah, okay.
They know the folks out there, trustee funded, they know the labor was felt for a different server, but they didn't change that labor piece for HP server.
Oh, okay.
So there's an additional labor for this server put it in besides their normal maintenance contract.
Oh, okay. All right. No, I think you guys did a great job. And, a lot of details here and a lot of, I think, you know, by taking another look at it, being able to save a couple $1,000, good deal. And we're getting a lot of projects done, yeah. A lot of things done.
Yes, please do.
Yes.
Thank you.
The next one is computer replacements. You know, I will say, besides myself and your Mayor McGillis, there was a lot of other parties involved here in meetings, either obtaining proposals or submitting proposals for the feedback. A lot of my part made that comment. All of us were involved. We're really pushing to get this done. This is something that's needed. Real quickly, computer replacements, a couple issues with that. And so I'm getting a title for a public works director. We would like to purchase a notebook or a laptop. There's 2 extra computers in this write-up because of the exchange server replacement. The computers are so old they won't function correctly. But in the end, even though one account may be slightly over budget, in the end, the entire fund will be under budget because of the quotes that we received for the computer replacements and the server replacement came in under budget. And I got this is in the replacement fund, it's budgeted, and ready to go.
Just on DC, too, how well you guys have all not only been working together, but how hard you've been working to pinch the pennies and find the right people to still do this job correctly and well for us. Again, the budget isn't, I gotta say, the two of us are just like, fuck, this is great. We're not used to this.
There's also no labor for these because when the card comes out, it's part of the normal 2-6 that come out that we install the computers at that time. That way, so.
Thank you.
The next one is phone provider selection. A couple weeks ago, Carl wants our contract was expiring that we were not aware of. So as part of this entire process of phone system replacements, we have told us a number of them for providers. It's very typical to analyze, but in the end, Carl wants has a cheapest, what they call CRI, stand for what? In there?
You got me on.
Okay.
Sorry. It's the tube. I just know it's the tube.
They have such a low rate on their POTS or fax line, they're no longer going to be either. Now, the problem is because they were quoting out a current phone system in Centrex and all this other mobile travel. Which I try to put everything side by side and say, here you go, here's what we got, and I think Carl Watt has been a good provider for us. If there's no issues, let's move forward with that. Questions?
Any objections?
There's no problem. First half was the lowest with Carl Watt, but the current text communications are at 5 other folks that are in here that didn't get close. But they did propose for the national.
And we also reached out to two other companies that Rupinder was trying to contact that never called them back up saying, look, by the end of the week, and we said, no more phone calls.
Well, I know we're spending just a little bit more than we had wanted to.
Because
it's saying over budget by 12.
Because of Centrex now. Until we get that phone system replaced, we're going to be paying a premium because Centrex is owned by AT&T. AT&T. So he's going to pass along the cost. Once that system's in, Centrex
goes
away. And Carl's rates are actually cheaper than 3 years ago, we think, before. Well, then, we'll bring that forward. It's going to be slightly over, but once that new phone system's in, which is the next
shut
item,
we
go on.
You were talking about
soft salt. Do those work?
Yeah.
The next item in the phone system replacement, I'm going to probably defer this one to you, Lieutenant.
Okay.
I mean, in the end, we got a number of phones. There's two of them for Shore Tower, and there was another one for which the police department already has. So our recommendation is to go with the Maya and not replace the phones at least, but replace the system itself. So what I've included here is a bunch of information on the quotes of the advice. And it'll reduce.
We have our costs
too.
We have three quotes. Two are for a Shortel. One of the Shortel came off the cheaper actually, but they were missing half of the equipment. Hence the reason they were cheaper. But a regular quote for a Shortel is about $48,000, whereas a wire one is only 33 something. Which was a much better number, and we still use a existing equipment, so we're not doing anything with it. We're saving a lot on that. We don't have to recycle anything. Each phone costs close to $400 plus. That was tremendous.
And those
phones
are still current, even though they've had a system for a while. Those sell the same phones. So it will reduce overall costs. We right now call out. All of us, who's they call us, the direct now, once the systems are in. So those costs from 0 to 8 miles will go away.
Just the thought of being able to call them without having to call them. It just seems so cool.
I like you before you got to the word. There you go.
Thank you, Mr. Shields. Thank you, Rupinder. And again, I'm telling you, the team effort that's come because of Steve, Rupinder, and including Current Tech also, You see, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve here, but these are really big projects that I'm really proud of our team on how fast the information has come together and we're moving forward on it. Thank you, Board. Public Works.
The first item is consideration of the construction engineering service agreement for the West Road construction project. I'd like to pause for a moment. Kurt Bowden, we all know, but the gentleman that did with Craig Mitchell is in charge of Baxter Woods' construction management division. The three of us met a good month ago, and I was certainly hopeful for me to get a better understanding of Baxter Woods' approach to managing the construction, inspection, administrative stuff from Craig. And I thought it would be helpful, should there be questions from the board of this project, which is a sizable project for us, my road and service, $1.7 million estimated construction, $477,000, and they are not moving construction management expenditure. I thought, again, to be helpful if there are questions tonight or in the future. So back to the project here very briefly. November 8th is the bid wedding, bid opening. As I comment, this Wednesday we are having a mandatory pre-bid meeting in the four chambers here, given the magnitude and the criticality of phasing. I felt it was important to have all prospective bidders, I believe there will be a number of them, to come and understand the project that we have designed in Kansas City. Or to have an opportunity to ask questions. I know I started bouncing around, I apologize. The only other comment you made, as indicated in the agenda item summary, two unique aspects of this project. Should we want those included, the first one being a website that will allow the public or the interested businesses to get updates by going to our website. This is not charting new ground. The number of municipalities on larger projects do this practice. It could be viewed as getting our feet wet, but again, it's somewhere in the range of about $5,000 in that estimated cost. Second item is, since there will be a fair amount of new infrastructure, predominantly storm drainage system on Butler and Sunset, much like we did with our tree inventory, using a GPS to gather the location and enter into the GPS notes, downloaded into a GIS system for information, inventory, and for future management. A whole bigger question unto itself. That's got an estimated cost of $9,000. So those are unique, if you will, to this construction management. Last comment I'll make, if you're wondering why I requested the mayor to pull it off the agenda last meeting, I started getting some uncertainty as to the federal and IDOT expectations on
sole source maybe for engineering services versus quality-based selection. Soliciting qualifications, soliciting technical proposals, soliciting fee proposals from several engineering firms. IDOT has a chapter in their agreement section of their manual that is difficult reading, and that's what I got a little nervous. That led me to talk to IDOT engineering selection section within the Bureau of Local Roads, and I gained sufficient comfort actually with an ever-building engineer and us having a satisfactory relationship. We can stay the course of going with Baxter and Woodman and not going out for the vote for this project, should we so choose to. That probably begs this question, does that mean forever and ever we should stay with Baxter and Woodman, or our company completely does not mean that. Separate discussion, I desire to have at some point. When we're with more time available, should we be testing the water with other consulting engineers? You may be aware we use Civil Tech because they were already under contract with Lee County for the Washington Street project. They did the water main design for us. So let's separate that discussion if we might. From the matter at hand, bringing this to the regular board next time to select that board and do the constructions, engineering, and a not to exceed price of $470,000 or not.
How do we know that this is a comparable price? We don't go out and need to get some kind of bid to see if they're in the ballpark or not.
We won't. And so my thought on that would be to go to several engineering firms and get their labor rates for various classifications of inspectors, of engineers, and their overhead rates. To do that, and I'm sure I can get responses for every place I come. Only caution, and this gets nebulous, providing professional services, not shopping for low bid. And what is that value of experience is in the eye of the beholder. But again, I've been here now through several discussions, and there's big money involved necessarily in buying those professional services. So I believe it is worthy of me doing some follow-up work.
So I guess when I ask, is Baxter Woodman's practice negotiable? Or are they firm and they are where they're at right now?
I'm going to refer to Kurt and Grant.
Basically an upper limit. We don't, when I put together my estimate, I look at what's involved timing-wise and word-wise. I have 24 years of experience on this type, you know, all types of the work, this one especially, and so I know what it takes for staff. I'm the one who's going to be managing the job if we get this. You guys are Rod, and we've seen a lot of it because I'm probably the manager of it. So I know what I need to have for staff. And we don't park somebody out there. If there's not any work going on, we pull people back in. You only fill what is needed. You know, again, that's the upper limit to not to exceed. So if the contractor moves along faster, gets done quicker, there'll be some savings.
What about the item that the staff was actually willing to have forgotten? And, well, we've done always, we're always to the maximum of the fee. never been really low on any of this stuff. So I've had preservation potential woodland on some of the project. So I would like to see some kind of comparison as far as what can I do with this project.
And I'm happy to pursue that in a generic sense. That, I think, will guide us for future capital improvement project as to opening it up for real proposals. Submitting a proposal, developing a request for proposal takes time. And unfortunately, time is a precious commodity for me right now. But it also takes time for the engineering firms. And so I think if we're going to go that route on a future project, we should be serious about.
I want to also mention that I'm not saying that Ash Woodman would not do the job. I just want to make sure they're on the ballpark. We had another engineering firm before that was GIS, and they got complacent. And that's why we went with Ash Woodman at that time. I just want to make sure that Ash Woodman is not
my question would be, I appreciate your comments tonight. And I meet several times a month just to talk projects. We sit down for around 2-3 hours to go through everything. I'm going to continue working hard to earn everybody's trust here and confidence. I make a point of talking around about it. Is there anything else we can be doing better? I did want to add real quick about your comments, things that were forgotten. If there are any issues at all, I have to just bring them to my attention so being resolved. There is one minor thing that I was aware of, subsequent to Erica's departing our firm and my stepping in to help the village. And I worked with the former administrator to work through those issues, and I think we've addressed everything to no additional charges to the village, if that's what you're talking about. If there's anything else, please refund it. Thank you.
Yeah, I only have one question. It's a small potato in the basket of, of our bid. But the website that Ron, you mentioned was charged for that was $5,000. Having experience with getting those developed, that just seems like a lot of money for a website, unless it's doing commerce or something like that.
Well, it's actually not just developing, it's maintaining. What we do is after weekly progress payments, the contractor will update it. So a lot of that, I mean, the actual development is relatively low. It's just the upkeep throughout the project. We post updates, we post pictures. Correspondence, because there's a link through the website where when we send out an email saying, hey, next week they're going to be replacing the curb and gutter, we'll get a handful of comments back. They'll respond back. So then we have office staff that are monitoring that website and then forward it on and make sure that those are followed up on.
So it's not just purely presentation of it.
No, it's the constant upkeep or updates of the website itself. Plus, we also create a log of all the interactions that happen, phone calls, website questions. If somebody contacts us, we always take care of it and then we log it. And that log is available to the board and whoever you guys designate so that they can see that, the resident XYZ called that question about the driveway access. And here's who took care of it. Here was the resolution.
Let me see if I understand this. We would be paying $5,000 to have a separate web page to have you guys give us information. But don't you give us during regular projects now?
We do, but we would be maintaining a separate website that would be linked to the village's website. And, it'd be called heartnodereconstruction.com or something on that order. So it would have its own domain space, and it would be devoted to the project. we would have all the updates, which, you know, again, we do give that to you, but in this case, it's presented on the website for the people to go to.
Just get your phone and then your whole board, I can buy and jump in on this one. I've gone back and forth. If a person is feeling adversely impacted, they're very inclined to try and seek information, seek resolution, right? This last couple of months, I've probably thought your residents that have a concern, an objection, just outside PO due to the impact of construction. Those people will reach out to us without a website. Could the website provide good advanced information that would lead some of our residents that will be impacted by this project, not just the industrial area, not just the school, like the motorists that you know now, will those impacted citizens turn to websites for their information? I don't know. A thought, Brandon, maybe you could guide us since, or me, so I, when I come back to regular 1 and 2 weeks, are there other communities that have a similar size that's been served by a website on a fairly high profile project that I could come to?
Washington, in Raleigh Beach, they're doing an update on Angel Road and Lobster.
And then we actually counted up to Lake County, Wadsworth Road, reconstruction.com. There's a website that we, very similar to what this one would be for the Lake County project we're doing. Down in Wooddale, I think it's Royal Oaks, construction.com. And previously we just finished up a project in McHenry County on Walk-Up Road where we did the same thing. We had, so this, we used it with great success in a lot of communities. The Crystal Lake project, we had businesses, we had a lot of residents along there, and we were able to get out the information to them. And what it is, Royal Oaks is it's basically a subdivision. And we're redoing the entire roadway system, adding storm sewer, curb and gutter, brand new water. We're getting information out that way to these residents. So those websites are, there's two of them that are active, the Wadsworth Road and the Wooddale ones are active right now. So I can get you the exact details.
If I may, I guess our thought on this was, this is kind of a critical piece of roadway for deliveries, things like that, in that industrial area. We thought that that would be an amenity with some value to those business owners. And that's what we talked with Ron. Ron said, yeah, you know, that's a good idea, let's do that. Again, it's entirely optional.
I think it's rather redundant when we have our own webpage and we're just not.
Somebody's got to feed the information so that it is hopefully bringing heart-giving and informative, and the resident will use it. And that's the cloudy question mark in my mind.
Well, yeah, it's, we're spending a lot of time talking about $5,000. It's just a small thing. I just thought I'd ask. I didn't really know. Generating quite a bit of discussion. But,
If I may, in the end, you have a $4.7 million project here.
Yeah.
After reimbursement, you're spending $143,000 on construction engineering services. You got a wonderful deal here for a $4.7 million project. One of the biggest projects we probably have in this village. Not to say 5,000 is nothing, I'm not dismissing that.
Right.
But just to move it forward, put some things in perspective. Well,
on the flip side of this, and I guess a few of you are going to be like, oh my gosh. On the flip side of this, I think that this approach is actually what our future is going to look like more often than not. But quite frankly.
I got one question. Is this going to be, if you go to E. Round Lake, will I be able to get to where you're at?
Yes.
Yeah, is that what point do you link together?
Yes. And also on the website for the project, we can, back to the village.
The reason why I'm saying that is because, say, for instance, like if I'm in Chicago, and I work out here in Round Lake, for whatever reason, and I go to E. Round Lake, I plug in there and I say, okay, I use hardware, I use this, I use whatever, every day. I want to know where it's at and how much we got going. Are you sending updates back to those addresses?
Yes, yeah, if you go to the website or to a public meeting and they sign up for email alerts, they get an email alert when we update the website. And actually sometimes, let's say we're going to be painting on Wednesday, we'll send out an email alert and update the website saying, hey, scheduled for Wednesday, there are going to be delays, please use an alternate route.
Now, the only thing that I'm going to ask is that in that business part of that, every business email, do we keep a log of it?
Yes, we have a log of everybody's email address that signs up, on the site.
After that project's over, can we get a copy of it?
Yes, we archive the entire website, all the questions that we've received by email, all the correspondence, on the project by email questions, that's all in there. I think they even archive all the pictures we posted. What we like to try and do is take pictures of the web or of the construction so people can look and see. It's good to, so they know, hey, this is what's going on and see the change.
It's been wonderful at the technology for the handle of the system. I get the updates regularly, and it's a wonderful tool.
I have no distaste with it whatsoever. I actually think it's been very helpful for a lot of people. And I do think it's going to be what we're going to be seeing in our construction in the future elsewhere. Full transparency, people. Full transparency.
Mm-hmm. Information is good.
Yes, you. Yes. Right. Now,
I want to get both of them.
Yes.
So we're fine. And I will set the knowledge on this comparison stuff.
I will, yes. And hopefully I'm not to present as a regular board meeting. I don't think we're
thank you.
Thank you.
Sanitary sewage excess flow facility.
This one definitely will be great.
I like that. You didn't say try to be. Definitely. That's a good word, Ron.
And that's because...
Do you have anything on this?
I don't
have
anything
on it. There is no copy on this. Last Wednesday, the Northwest Wastewater Service Area, which we are part of the county wastewater conveyors and box, we had a meeting and we had discussion trying to understand how the member communities are supposed to levy the nominally $1.50 per month surcharge to pay off the debt of building the excess flow facility at the old building. Not the clarity even after the discussion. So Steve and I have had further discussion and are going to meet directly with Lake County Public Works Director and his finance person. And hopefully by next meeting have sufficient understanding that we, Steve and I, will be able to recommend the direction that we should go. It's coming whether we want it or not. And it's just what is our latitude in collecting the $1.50 a month that's still very cloudy? And who pays? So, more to come next meeting. Hopefully, competitive and fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
special events, Vicki? Anything?
No, I'm just in my car.
Okay.
But I will, I have my draft together for the tree lighting. Do things that are needed, so I will kind of keep everybody, let me know, we'll let Dawn know what we can do with anything. And I'll let you know what we already have, and then we'll take it out there more next year.
You'll be line captain at first, right?
Yes, sir.
Have we reached out to the Queens yet?
That's how my list. And I have a number for chorus, and I have a number for dance.
That's a problem. We typically have them being brought in by our fire department.
Right, but I'm done with it now.
Okay. Woo. We need to go, girl.
I know. I'm excited. Those are great.
Thank you. Building and zoning, chickens and pets, just so the minutes reflect, this was decided by the board to not be carried forward, and the conversation has tonight.
Mayor, I think that
you
might
have
to.
To?
This is a base set for tree lighting. This would be. Friday night, and I will copy you guys as well. Public Works is on there for a few things.
What's such a long overdue light?
We have one here. Chief, do you have anything for us?
No, sir.
Thank you. Under administration, Mr. Crowley is out of town. The only thing we have is last week, again, A-Tire came to us with a proposal that I just spoke about. The board asked for something in writing, what he's proposing. He put this together. I passed one out to everybody. You have it. For the record, so the tape can hear it, the Village of Round Lake, this is from A-Tag County Service. We would like to thank the Village of Round Lake for the opportunity to allow us to provide repair and towing services for so many years. This has been a great source of pride for our company. We would like to offer the village the following. Shop labor rate of $69.95 per hour. We will use OEM parts or parts that meet or exceed OEM specifications. Our standard warranty of 12 months or 12,000 miles. If the manufacturer offers a longer warranty, we would extend that to the village. A discount of 10% on all parts. Sincerely, Michael J. Kohlmeyer, President, owner of A-Tire Company Service.
Mr. Mayor, we were also talking last meeting about setting up how what type of length of time would be good for. Could you go we're looking at how long would these rates be good for if we enter into this with them?
The yearly contract, like other things, annually?
Annually. So for the people who support, can we get back and ready to see that it would be
sure.
I reviewed
it.
When
the day
passes,
a
year from
now.
Okay.
Next year, senior, in the end of next time around, that you need to be.
Annual contract.
I believe letters to Mary, you did mention about car washes, but they were already included throughout the
doing that. They're already doing that, and, yeah, we spoke of that last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So move this forward?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Administrator suggested new topics. There's no executive session.
May I have a look? May I?
Yes.
Okay. I talked with the chief earlier today and received a complaint from one of our residents. Because of the Washington Street construction, we have everybody kind of cutting through and coming up through Lakeview Terrace, or Lakewood Terrace, Lakewood Terrace, and it's becoming a problem for at least one resident. She said that he didn't hear of any other complaints so far, but we do have one,
and it's actually the first house going down, so it's quite problematic. The cars are coming up the street, they're stopping at Cedar Lake, and they're stuck there because it's hard to get onto Cedar Lake to, you know, go with traffic. This particular resident has sat for quite a while right on the crest of that hill waiting to get out and has been stuck for quite a long time. So we were talking about the possibility of perhaps just a no left turn. This way they can only go right. I guess there's pros and cons to this. I just wanted to know how everybody else felt about this issue and, you know, how we might be able to accommodate some of our residents.
I think right now it's a temporary situation. You're going to want to eventually, as you started, then stop. I think it's going to remain the same, and maybe we could use some mobile eye to help out and keep things, you know, from the traffic.
If I might help out in one manner, I've lived this now for about 2 months, maybe about 1 month. It's ugly. November 15th is still the scheduled completion date to reopen Washington. It's ugly during peak hours, the afternoon peak.
When the train goes high,
talking with Chief today, anything that we don't do does have a domino effect. If you put the right turn only, it's going to affect all the residents that now have to go to a larger area around. So, I mean, whatever we do, we're going to affect something else. After the conversation with Chief today, I just didn't realize that it's the cost of progress. Certainly mindful to the people, want to respond to them, let them know that we've discussed it.
That's why I bring this up tonight.
Absolutely.
I wanted to be sure we've had this discussion and we've done our due diligence for this particular resident and any others who have that issue. I feel their plight. I just don't know that there is an answer that's going to help everybody.
With this particular family, because it is where the location where they're at and the difficulty they are getting out of their driveway, we can help them with that. But if we start stopping the traffic here, this close to the railroad tracks, all we're going, in my mind, I envision once people realize that we're going to make it easier for them to cut through and make that, they're going to get more cars that are going to cut through. And then in a really so I think right now we have to let it play in, of course, look to get the people that are doing it out of convenience to find another way that's even more convenient. Doesn't mean I want the people that live there to suffer that consequence. We'll do whatever we can to make them more comfortable with it. But we have to be careful what we do on Cedar Lake Road, because make this parking lot a cut-through highway. If we do no left turn, they're going to come right up our back through here to go back south and close this lot. I believe that's what we have to do. And if we put us, first we have to get the county's permission to put a stop sign on Cedar Lake, but then they'll be back in traffic all the way up to, and we don't have the right studies to accomplish.
I just wanted to hear the dialogue so that I can respond appropriately as well, and that that they know we've really actually had the conversation. As
sure,
board.
Our apologies.
I know.
I'll hang in there three more weeks.
So the one thing that I do know, after getting to know the man named Chief Mitchell, if there's a resolve to this, they'll think about it and find it. I feel very confident about that.
Absolutely.
The continuous thinker.
Absolutely.
And,
but he always has such good common sense. And I guess that's why we all go to the go-to game.
And they reached out to you, correct?
Yes.
Trustee Dragon. Mm-hmm. If you would please contact them also, and Chief, please continue communication with them, let them know that the board is listening to it, and I feel it's like... Any other comments? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
A vote.
Motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Fry. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned at 9:06.